Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamore captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Lane's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable. And that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself, Jay, Peter Elder and Craig Holmes will go back over what was a fantastic Betfred League Cup semi-final, a 2-0 victory over Rangers. I think we're all feeling fairly delicate at this moment in time, but what a great day it was. Guys, welcome along.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Thanks, mate.
Well, we'll start as always with yourself, Jay, and it's kind of hard to put into words how special yesterday was. We have so many occasions at Hampden where the team don't show up, or there's a decision maybe doesn't go our way, or there's an individual error, but yesterday all the parts fell into place, and a hero again, Louis Moult, 2 goals, a sensational performance. It's just a day that will live with us forever, I suppose.
It was great. I'm probably not the only Motherwell fan who can barely speak. You know, today, which obviously isn't the best when you're recording a podcast. It was just brilliant. I mean, I think it's interesting to note that it was actually quite a poor performance. Not maybe poor, but it was certainly, we weren't at our best at all. You know, last week we kind of joked about my daydream about us winning 4-0, but if we'd actually put in a performance that we're capable of, you know, we might have actually got another couple of goals. First half, we weathered the storm a little bit, maybe took a wee bit of time to grow into the game, like we have done in a lot of games this season. We've been, you know, a little slow to start at times. If there's been any criticism you would have of the team this season, that would probably be it. But you're right, second half, we were the better team. And it was just the mentality on show. It's something that we've not seen all week. You know, the players, and Stephen Robinson in particular, all the comments, all the talk before the game was spot on. It was a million miles of the kind of chat that you would have heard from the likes of Stuart McCall and Martin McGee. You know, we were going, it didn't matter who we were up against, we were going to be there to play our game, and that's what we did. Maybe not to the best that we could have, but we were the better team, we deserved the victory, and, you know, I think I'm probably not the only Motherwell fan who has watched Louis Moult's second goal about a million times a day.
Well, I'll certainly not be asking you very many more questions after that hoarse response, but Peter, I'm going to mention the word special a million and one times in this podcast tonight, but it was just such a significant win. The first time in our history that we've ever beaten Rangers at Ibrox, at Hampden. We were the underdogs. We were possibly, I think we all went into the game with a bit of belief, but there's always that nagging doubt that the team doesn't turn up. They kind of, we let ourselves down. This team have got something special. They've brought back a renewed belief in going back to the football and enjoying ourselves. It's just, it was a wonderful day, wasn't it? I'm trying to not cry on the podcast at this moment in time.
Well, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, I think we all felt the kind of emotion yesterday at various stages for various reasons. Just the amount of support that we had, and the quality and the positivity amongst the support, which I think, you know, the team feed off the fans' positivity and vice versa. And I've used it myself a couple of times there. Jay used it a lot. The word team, and that's what earned us victory yesterday. We played as a team, whereas I think our opponents were a collection of individuals who clearly weren't up for a battle. And Kector Breeks, when the going got tough, chucked it at 1-0. Even, never mind 2-0, they chucked it at 1-0. It was a fantastic day. I don't want to dwell on our opponents because it wasn't about them, it's about us. You know, we didn't play, as Jay correctly says, our best football, but when you work as hard as Stevie Robinson's boys do, you know, you make your own luck, you make things happen, you know, and it was, the work rate was incredible. And the support, it was quite strange actually, because obviously doing the job I do now on a match day, I get to less and less matches as a supporter, and you know, standing up during the game, and you probably guys probably felt the same, the nervous energy, especially in a game like that. We've been at Hampden before and I've never felt that too often, because we're not in the game, we're well beat, or we're not seeing much of the ball or that, and you're like, oh well, it doesn't matter. But the longer it got, almost bizarrely sounds, the worse it got, because we had something to lose, you know. But it was, I think we all had the energy from the team, and the support was absolutely outstanding. There was barely a critical remark throughout, you know, the whole 90 minutes and afterwards. And I mean, full credit to the team. We never shirked a thing. We made an absolute laughing stock of our underdog status. I mean, we can say about how great or how poor our opponents were, however, you know, you can only beat what's put in front of you, and we thoroughly deserved it, and it was a pleasure to almost win a semi-final comfortably.
Craig, there's going to be a lot made of our performance yesterday, and I suppose the attention is on how poor Rangers were in the press. At least the physical side of our game has been under a bit of examination, and there was a few moments Ryan Bowman appearing to elbow, well, it didn't appear to elbow, he definitely elbowed Cardoso, who subsequently broke his nose. I've looked back on it and I really don't believe that there was any intent there. His eyes are completely fixed on the ball, as is Cardoso's all the way through it. Ryan Bowman maybe getting a bit of negative press now, with Brendan Rodgers commenting on him today as well, because there was a bad tackle in the game at Celtic Park in February on Kieran Tierney. I don't know whether that will maybe come under a bit of scrutiny, and perhaps a subsequent ban for Ryan Bowman, which would be absolutely devastating given how pivotal he's been kind of all the way through this Betfred League Cup campaign. We are a physical side. I think we lost so many soft goals last season, which was our downfall. We play a lot of football in the final third as well. Is it a negative thing? As far as I'm concerned, it's absolutely not. You've got to kind of play your circumstances and you've got to play to your strengths. Yes, we might not be that easy in the eye defensively, but we keep the ball out at one end, and when we get that ball in the final third, you know, sure as hell that we are going to be a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, going back to what you're saying about, like, obviously the challenge with Bowman made on Cardoso, I think if you look at it, potentially, you know, like you say, there's no intent whatsoever, but, you know, a referee might look at the rules and say, well, this, you know, he's causing dangerous player or something like that. So I think he maybe got away with one. Like you said, I don't think he meant it. But I hope there's nothing more taking for it, because I don't think he deserved a red card for it. It's just, I think it's one of those things, you jump for a ball, your hands up, your hands, your elbows, your shoulders are up in the air. The boys get caught in the face. It's an unlucky one for him, but I don't think there's any intent, there's any malicious in it. So I hope he's okay. Like you say, he's turned his mother career around, Ryan Bowman. You know, I quite liked him last season. He didn't work out. He was obviously low in confidence. But he came in, he got the two goals at Hampden at the start of the season, and I was hoping he'd kick on, and it turns out he's done that. Him and Moult have looked at a really good partnership. They've worked well together. And like you say, it's just kind of, it's became part of that physical team. You know, for me, it's not a bad thing. It's a good, every good team's a physical team. Look at Celtic, they've got their 60-game unbeaten run. They play great football, but they've got players in there, Scott Brown, Lushtick, the boys at the back, who can put a foot in, they can, you know, they can dish it out. So a wee bit, you know, I think Rodgers has started with the games already. I'm trying to make it Bowman ruled out of the game, because you know, they've got plenty of players on their team who are happy to put it about. So we'll see how it goes. But I think most of your successful teams in this league have got big physical players. It's Johnston have kind of been renowned for it in recent years. You think of the Hearts teams over the years that have done really well, always get physical players in them. So for me, it's a great thing. Like you say, you've been too soft in recent seasons with midfields that have barely been there. So they have a kind of a physical spine, a competitive team, guys that will dig in. It's not the best team I've ever had, you know, quality wise, I don't think. But it's been a long time, so for a team as if it will fight as hard as these guys have done, and like I say, it'll put a foot in. It's for me, it's great to see.
Jay, kind of cards on the table. I was in the pub earlier on and had a wee read through the Sun and the Daily Record, in particular, actually to the point where I've sent a few text messages about how fucking awful Keith Jackson's column is on the game, and looking back on it, if that guy ever sets foot anywhere near Firth Park, he should be told exactly where to go. Yes, we're going to get a wee bit of backlash for perhaps what's perceived as a negative style of play, but as part and parcel of the game, I can't believe guys like Bruno Alves coming out and slating Muddle for the way they play football, when this guy, he's a big lumpy a boy, he's no soft, he's a European Championship winner, a very successful player and everything else. Surely when he was coming to Scotland, he looked into the style of play and the way that football is played in this country. He couldn't have expected it to be a walk in a park, and that he's not going to get someone that tackles him or physically challenges him. For me, that's absolutely absurd.
Well, firstly, I mean, if you're going to read the Daily Record and the Sun, with all due respect, Sparrow, you're going to be annoyed, because it's two absolute bullshit rags, and Keith Jackson just spout shite, so I'm not surprised to hear that. Bruno Alves is a rocket at the end of the day. I mean, the worst challenge of the entire, the worst, you know, moment of the entire game was Bruno Alves kicking out at Louis Moult, and he should have saw red. So the fact that Bruno Alves came out after the game and started talking about Motherwell players being, you know, physical and aggressive, it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's all sour grapes, that's all it is. If Rangers had won the game, but those challenges for Bowman had still went in, yeah, they would have been mentioned, but they would have been a footnote on, you know, how good Rangers had been and how it was now an Old Firm final. The only reason that Ryan Bowman is now being singled out, or our style of play is suddenly, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened to Scottish football, which is absolute bullshit anyway. I didn't think our style of play was anything wrong with it. Yes, there was a few meaty tackles from both sides. Bowman, yeah, it's just the way he jumps for headers. I think his arms up, players do that, that's what happens. Should he have been booked for the broken nose one, and he was already on a booking, fair enough, that might have been the case. I think it would have been hard to argue with it, but to try and paint it as though we were, you know, a team of thugs out kicking everything that moved is just absolute nonsense. Bruno Alves's kick out should be looked at again. We'll see if it would be, because we all know what strip he was wearing, so there's a good chance it won't be. But he should have been sent off. That's the only clear red card of the day. So the fact that we're being kind of, you know, criticised for it, I enjoy that, because it's just sour grapes. It shows that they're still so bitter. They've been bitter about they've hated us almost as much as Celtic and Aberdeen ever since the playoffs, and if it just makes them even more bitter that they're all, you know, teary eyed because Ryan Bowman broke somebody's nose, then brilliant.
Yeah.
Is that the same Bruno Alves that kicked Harry Kane in the head playing for Portugal against England, incidentally, that Disney think that was fitter? And the same guy, eh?
Yeah, that's also that was in a friendly match as well. So if that's how he plays in a friendly match, then that basically tells you all you need to know about Bruno Alves. But I think he did something almost kind of semi sinister after the St Johnstone game last week, where he talked about the way he was getting pushed about in the box and it was unacceptable, almost trying to get into the referee's head, which we then talked about in depth in the podcast last week. Believing that the referee was Bobby Madden, gave Bobby Madden a right hard time, and it turned out that it was Stephen McLean that was actually in charge of the game. But I think it was a stuffy game, wasn't it, Craig? I suppose when you've got two teams that come up against each other that are quite evenly matched, and there isn't very much between them, it is going to be cagey, it is going to be kind of nervy. pressure was on Rangers.
Yeah, I think obviously what it was seen earlier, I think, or Jay was seen earlier as well, that the first half it didn't really start well, and you kind of, without going back to, you know, how it always has been, you would expect Rangers to come out and make the most of the early doors and try and get the fans behind them. And I think, you know, they did that to an extent. I think Carson had a few saves to make, but I don't think he had any, you know, major, you know, great saves. He had a couple of easy ones. And even after the half time as well, even that wee 5 minute spell after the half time, and I think Windass had one as well, and maybe Candace another one as well. So it wasn't until after we scored that we kind of, Motherwell seemed to settle down. And I think that maybe the belief came in at that point. And after we scored, I don't think we were in any danger whatsoever. There was no, you know, we went two up. It's not as if it was a 10 minute onslaught for Rangers as well. Once we scored the second, it was almost a case of, you know, job done. And they lost belief. We were 100% sure we weren't losing this. So it was actually, you know, going into a semi final, 10 minutes to go, you're leading Rangers at Hampden, and I wasn't worried. It was a nice wee feeling to go in the last sort of 5-10 minutes, just absolutely positive. You're seeing this one out, and there's absolutely no danger. So to come through, you know, Aberdeen and Rangers, you know, 5 goals scored, none against. It shows you just that I talked earlier about the spirit of this team and then the desire they've got and the maybe that physical nature as well to show that they're not going to be bullied, they're not going to be pushed off the ball. And you can't break this, you know, break them down there easy. So it's great to see.
Peter, that's a massive point, and the word positive gets mentioned quite a lot as well. The significance of the work that's been done over the course of the summer, Stephen Robinson has proved, I reckon, everybody wrong, because while some people might not admit it, there was a lot of doubt about the appointment of Stephen Robinson. He came back a week later, he's appointed as manager. It just seemed a cheap appointment, a lazy appointment to a certain extent as well, I suppose. And what that man has done is beggars belief. It's just a complete turnaround. When you're signing 17, 18 players over the summer, there's a huge element of risk, but what he's done is he seems to have kind of analysed these guys, looked over the situation, he's looked into the guys' background and got the right guys for the club. There's so many guys that have just come in and just they feel like they've been there forever, despite the fact they've only been here, what, we're towards the end of October, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a credit. He's an absolute credit to himself. Then you look behind the scenes as well, the work that's going on with the Well Society, the Community Trust, folk that you know very well, guys like Ross Clarkson, Ali Riley, Lewis Irons.
Yep.
They just absolutely worked their arses off for the cause. And he'll no thank me for mentioning how fucking terrible his dancing was at full time, like Aldo the Kit Man and everything else. That was for everyone yesterday.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, to get back to your point about Robbo, I mean, cheap option was the phrase that was used at the time. Obviously, there's a couple of things, you know, you were right, absolutely 100%, Andy, that Robbo looked to bring in players, not just on their ability, but their character. He's obviously wanted the right type of people in the dressing room, which perhaps he felt that wasn't the case towards the end of last season and throughout last season. So and I think a lot of the credit as well goes to Martin Foyle for recruitment, for bringing in the right quality of players and type of players. And I think you look at the team now, you know, you say, oh, good teams kind of are, you know, reflect the manager and their character. And Stevie Robinson is he's a battler. He's a positive person. He's got an infectious kind of personality to be around. He makes everybody feel positive, and he makes them feel, you know, we can go in and win any game. And you look at the team, and that's how they are. They battle. They never give up. I mean, you go back to the game at Easter Road in September. Every Motherwell fan that's coming out that day said, "Oh, we lost that 3-4-0 last season," and it was probably a fair point. But we come back from 2-0 down and looked like we could win it. On Sunday against Rangers in the semi-final, we didn't have a great first half, but I felt we were doing a containing job, knowing that we had more fitness, more legs in the second half, and it was absolutely true. To play the type of pressing game that we did, where we forced Rangers, when they had the ball at the back, pushed them up, and, you know, to go along, and which City does to an absolute T, and you've got to be super fit to do that. And that all that's down to Stephen Robinson and the work done over the pre-season, not just in recruitment but on the training field. A lot of supporters complained about some of the pre-season games not being great and players being flogged in the training, but that's why you look at it now, how we're playing, all those, you know, training sessions in the morning of a heavy training sessions in the morning of a friendly, then playing a friendly and it might be a bit lacklustre. We're seeing the benefits now. That's why it was done. And you know, Rob was doing a great job, and long may he reign.
Jay, I'm kind of trying not to over romanticise the whole kind of scale of yesterday, but it was just reward, wasn't it, for the people that there's quite a lot of unsung heroes at the club. There's, but I think the supporters as well, the increased attendance over the course of the season, there's that belief back again. But there's so many of us that we go along, we don't expect very much, but we follow the club loyally. It was just that, it just kind of almost felt like at 4:45 yesterday that we just should all have a big greet and a big cuddle, because it was so special.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you kind of talk about it all the time, comparing being a Motherwell fan to the likes of Rangers or Celtic. You know, you'd have had 38,000 Rangers fans there, you know, watching on in disgust. Many of them will have been at Hampden plenty of times before. They'll all have seen, you know, the original club before it died, winning trophies, and then this new entity, obviously winning a few lower league titles. So they're used to winning matches, maybe not in the last year or two, but, you know, they're used to the glory and the experience for them yesterday. I'm sure will have been disappointing and they'll have been raging with what they saw, but it's just another semi-final for them. Whereas, you know, the achievement for our side, particularly in the last few years, when you look at the last few years we've had to endure battling relegation, just to actually get to the semi-final in the first place, you know, to beat Aberdeen 3-0 in that quarter-final was a massive, massive achievement. So to then go one step further and win yesterday, and to do it in the way we did, with that, you know, we were getting a lot of criticism for Rangers fans, you know, in terms of, you know, the number of tickets we'd sold and things like that, for some bizarre reason, even though we'd almost doubled our home attendance. Which is something Rangers wouldn't do for a cup game if it was possible. You know, if you had a 120,000 seat stadium, Rangers wouldn't sell 100,000 tickets, which would be the, you know, the equivalent of the kind of attendance we took yesterday. So, you know, we're getting criticism for, you know, our small support. As Stephen Robinson said during the week, we were completely written off. You know, you had that daft BT Sports advert that just basically treated Motherwell and Hibs like footnotes. You know, this kind of going through the motions in the semi-final before the big old firm final. And yet we turned up, we did the business, and it was fantastic. And you could even see just, you know, the reactions from all the players, not just the ones in the park, but, you know, like Alex Fisher, you know, sprinting, you know, a guy who probably, when he was, you know, obviously it was Robinson's first signing, probably came to the club expecting to be starting most weeks, and yet has struggled to get in the team because of the form of Moulton Bowman, and yet, you know, he was one of the first guys there to celebrate. Same with Liam Grimshaw, you know, on the bench. Yeah, just all these guys who, you know, it's a complete combined effort. Everybody's up for it. Even just the scenes at the end, you know, celebrating with the fans. It was just brilliant. It was completely deserved. And, you know, we've said a few times this season already that there is something, you know, you used the word special repeatedly earlier on. There is something, it's the mentality. You know, there was a lot said when Robinson came in. You know, he basically said that there's a particular type of player that he will sign. There's a character profile that players have to match if they're going to join our football team. And I'll be honest, I probably wasn't the only Motherwell fan that thought that might be a bit risky, because, you know, we're not going to be able to attract the best players at the best of times. And if you're then limiting, you know, the pool of players that you're going to choose from because certain players don't meet, you know, a character profile, But I think it's been entirely justified. All the guys are there. You know, Peter Hartley is a good example. You know, he's came in and he would run through brick walls for a team that he's only on loan at. And I think that's the type of characters we've got in the dressing room. Every one of them, you know, Peter said it earlier, you know, every one of them is a member of a team. They all play for each other. They all play for the fans. And it's great just to have that kind of pride back again. You know, the last couple of years, it's almost been going through the motions, you know, because it's a sense of duty. You know, you're a Motherwell fan. And you go and you try and support us through another relegation battle, and yet here we are, you know, top half of the table, 1 point behind Rangers into a League Cup final. Fantastic season so far, and because of that mentality, because a lot of it is to do with the character and the mentality, and because we do have a genuinely talented squad, it's hard to see where the, you know, where anything's going to go wrong. I'm not suggesting that we're now going to be suddenly winning trophies and challenging for Europe, but it doesn't look like a side that's suddenly going to go on a bad run. So lots to be optimistic about, lots to be positive about. And yeah, it's just going to be really, really exciting just to see how good a season we can now go on and have.
And the thing about it is, Jay, just to come back in there, after we lost to Aberdeen in the league, after winning in the League Cup, and you know something, I didn't speak to any Motherwell fan that was dead upset or angry or all that bothered about it, thinking, well, one defeat isn't going to derail what we're doing. You can see the effort and the determination still there, and I think the supporters, whereas in years gone by, might have been a bit down in the dumps, a bit miserable, having lost a game at home, and you know, it wasn't a great game, wasn't a great performance, but the same effort with it was there, as it was evident on the Thursday night, and it's like, you know, this isn't going to stop, you know, we're not going to be, it's not going to cause a problem in the dressing room with the players being down or that, losing one game. It's like, you know what, it doesn't matter, we'll fight back, because we know the, you know, we know what the goal is, we can see where the team's going, there's a plan. And obviously since then we've won our last three games, and deservedly so, you know. And just one other point you mentioned there about semi-finals and talking about Rangers and Celtic in comparison. The final on November the 26th will be Motherwell's 11th, only our 11th major final in our 131 years existence. I imagine this Rangers probably had 11 finals during the 90s. So that's kind of a perspective there. Most Celtic Rangers are used to that many finals over a 10 or 12 year period. We've had that, like, forever. So we've got every right to absolutely milk this and enjoy it, because these days don't come around very often for us.
I'm kind of been a bit sidetracked, to be honest, because I can't believe that Jay managed a 5-minute response to a question with a voice like he's got at this moment. that was quite remarkable.
What Jay was saying as well about the kind of the sort of team spirit and stuff, you know, I think you mentioned it after the game. I was looking at the celebrations of the players, and three of the ones that sort of looked a bit the most exuberant almost was sort of Grimshaw, Bijan Amara and Alex Fisher, who the three of them probably came into the football club over the summer, thought they're going to be, you know, first team players here. For whatever reason, they haven't really featured much, but you could tell that, you know, they're obviously, I'm sure they want to play every week, but, you know, they're happy in the squad. You know, it seems like a really, really good team spirit. It seems the dressing room's a happy place. You hear a lot of times when things go bad about managers losing the dressing room, etc. One thing you always hear, a common theme, and successful teams always talk about what a great dressing room it was. So that sort of seems to be going that way as well. They're all, you know, the players are all celebrating after the game with each other, you know, hugging, and they seem to be a really close in that group. So hopefully the start of using that word again, but a special season. So I'm very confident going forward for the next 6 months.
We'll talk about Lou Moult, who we can't make any qualms about. It was yet again the talisman, the standout performer, two goals on the big stage. Perhaps that's maybe been the acid test to go to a National Cup semi-final and Willie perform. He definitely cast any doubts right aside with a brilliant performance. Jay, I suppose the issue now is the contract's on the table. Motherwell have been very, very open, very adamant. They've offered them the best that they possibly can. Lou Moult would become Motherwell's highest paid player if he was to put pen to paper in that deal. It seems to absolutely love I think he just loves playing football. What a fantastic interview he did in the press over the weekend. He's already been voted into the club's top 25 players, and he's only played for two and a bit seasons. He's idolised by the supporters. We love him so much. It'd be amazing to see Louis Moult commit his future to the club, even if it was only for another 6 months, and then we sold him for what I believe now would possibly be a record sale, because he's that good.
Oh yeah, I mean, obviously, I think there would be celebrations in the street if Louis Moult was to sign an extension. But you know, at the end of the day, I think we've already got more out of Louis Moult than we expected. You know, I think it's important to keep in mind that we do have a business model at the club to bring in guys. You know, maybe not entirely. You're obviously looking to bring in your own players as well through the youth academy. But Louis Moult would have been signed just like the likes of Marvin Johnson, etc., with the intention of maybe a season and a half of scoring goals and then sold for profit. The fact that we're now into a third season with Louis Moult, I think we're already got a lot more out of him than we possibly would have expected. And to be honest, after what he's contributed to this club, including yesterday, Louis Moult can do what the fuck he wants. I don't care. I would love him to stay. But
aye, all right,
Louis Moult can do what he wants, and you know, I'll fully support him because he's earned it. If he decides he doesn't want to sign a new deal, you know, he is 25. He's, you know, not a young player. He's mid 20s. The next move that he makes will be a big one in terms of his own career. He'll want to hit the heights. He'll want to play at the highest level. And if he thinks he's got a better chance of earning himself a far better move by, you know, being out of contract at the end of the season, then so be it. You know, he's the type of player where he's not going to sulk, he's not going to chuck the toys out of the pram. He'll get on with it, he'll score goals, and if he goes in January for money, if he goes at the end of the season or three, or if he signs an extension, you know, it's all good, because what Louis Moult's contributed to this club, and you said it yourself, that's a good example. You know, he's been voted by the fans into the podcast top 25 post-war players, and he's only been here 2.5 years. That says it all. He's pretty much became a Motherwell legend in that time, and whatever Louis Moult wants to do gets my full support.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Jay. I mean, I think, you know, it's how Louis Moult conducts himself, not just as a player, but as a person. And you ask any Wrexham supporter what they think of Louis Moult, and they will wax lyrical about how much a great player he was. Of course, he did serve them well, but, you know, how much passion he had, and the effort they put in, and the relationship he had with the fans. And we've seen that, you know, massively. And he cares. And it's very, very rare that you see someone who doesn't have an affinity with the club come in and not just do a very fake badge kissing type of love, but an actual genuine buying into the Motherwell culture. You know, and it's, I mean, my own view is that I think he'll, at the end of the season, he'll move on. I won't have a single problem with that. As Jay rightly said, we were more out of him than we thought. He did arrive as number two striker to Wes Fletcher. We need to bear that in mind. And the money he will have made us from getting to this final, finishing places higher up the league, and prize money, ticket sales for the final, prize money, everything. And bear in mind it's a team effort, but let's be honest, without his goals and having him as our main striker, it probably wouldn't have happened. Then he will have earned us more than a transfer fee than if we'd sell him in the summer or we sold him in January. So having him in the team's earning us more money. Although, as Jay rightly says, I think partying in the streets is the very, very least that would happen if he signed at some sort of extension. You think with a semi yesterday, there'd be 20,000 semis in Motherwell if Louis Moult signed an extension. That's for sure.
I don't want to like sort of dampen the enthusiasm, but there's absolutely no chance he's signing a new contract at Motherwell.
No chance.
We've offered him, you know, he'll be the best player at Motherwell if he signs a new contract. He'll go down south and he'll earn treble that at least. And he's been pretty open about it. You know, he's always said the right things in the interviews. He talks about doing the best for his family, and he'll see how things go. He'd be very diplomatic, and he'd be very good about it and stuff. But like you said, you know, he's come in, he's been here two and a bit seasons. He's in 47 goals already.
Yeah.
Two and a bit seasons. So if he, you know, takes that to 55, 60 goals over 3 years, then you're looking at, you know, a player who will, you know, I think they talk about, we're going to earn about £1 million for this cup run, you know. And a lot of that Aberdeen game and the game against Rangers, you know, he's pretty much, you know, he's the guy that gives the goals. And so for that kind of money, you know, in 2 or 3 years down the line, he'll still be one of the poster boys along with Marvin Johnson, these players down south, to say, come and sign with us, because, you know, you could be the next Liam Walter, you could be the next Marvin Johnson. So he'll maybe not get us a transfer fee, but like Peter said, you know, 300 grand we offered in summer, he's earned already three times that in a cup run. So, absolutely. And like I said, he'll be the guy in a couple of years down the line that will point to and say, you could be the next Liam Walter. So
yep.
He's given us far, far more than I'm sure any of us could ever have imagined. I was a big West Fletcher fan in the first couple of games, but it didn't turn out very well for him. But William Walton's fantastic. And like Peter says, I think when he goes at the end of the season, there will be not a single Motherwell fan who'll begrudge him these big moves, because he deserves it as a player and certainly as a person as well. He's a great guy. I've met him a couple of times and he's a lovely guy. So I know his partner's got a second child on the way as well. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I wish him all the best, and I think at the end of the season he'll get his big move and he'll get a big massive salary increase. So he certainly deserves it. He's worked hard for it, and he'll get his big move.
Yeah, and the great thing is, unlike other players at other clubs that running out their contract, he won't down tools for a single second. He'll be running as much come May as he is now, as he has been throughout his entire time at Motherwell, so we know he's not going to kind of like take it easy. Even if he signs a pre-contract with somebody, he'll still give 100% effort, and you know, and that's why he will be revered around these parts for many, many years after he's gone.
Yeah, he'll certainly be revered a good bit more than Wes Fletcher was, but it's I'm absolutely delighted for Wes Fletcher to get a mention on the podcast. I'm delighted that Desp is such a good judge of character as well, and judge of a footballer, that he rated Wes Fletcher higher than Lou Moult. there was one bigger hero.
Wrong.
There was one bigger hero than Wes Fletcher and Lou Moult yesterday, and that was the steward that, after going up to Fir Park and sorting out tickets for the pre-match party and everyone else is queuing up to get into the game full of excitement and enthusiasm, I then realised I had left my ticket in the taxi, which meant that I missed the first 27 minutes of the game. Eventually met a steward that was a Motherwell supporter and marched me all the way around via various corridors at Hampden, past the police and into our section. An absolute gentleman of a guy. This is very unlikely that we'll ever cross paths again in our lives, but I don't actually know the words that I could describe this man. He was an absolute hero. I would have missed the game. I wouldn't have seen the two brilliant goals, the celebrations that followed. It was you get so many bad raps about stewards and Scottish football grounds and everything else.
Yep.
This guy properly left his station, the completely wrong end of the ground, and made such an effort to get in. Not too pleased that the two stewards that were standing at the turnstiles that told me to go to the box office, it didn't fucking exist. But we'll let that slide, because that steward was that much of a hero. And if he does hear this, then thank you very much. I really, really appreciate what you did for me yesterday.
That's a couple of pints on my thing, Andy.
To be perfectly honest, at that time he could have had as many pints as he wanted, a barrel of pints. But surprisingly, we actually have a game in 2 days' time against Dundee. We've not actually won the cup. We have to kind of continue in league action, and we played Dundee on Wednesday night. Jay, Dens Park is a difficult place to go. I don't think we've actually won at Dens Park since we came back up most recently. Although there was a day that
won the last four there.
Always a hard game. You look at last season where they came and beat us so convincingly in Mark McGee's last game in charge, and then they possibly got a bit of a sneaky victory when Haber scored the winning goal at Fir Park in the bottom six fixture. Dundee had a very disappointing result at the weekend as well, a late loss to Partick Thistle. They'll be up for making amends, because Neil McCann I suppose he's a guy under pressure just now.
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult place to go, but, you know, even before yesterday, I think it's a game that we would have been looking at and feeling quietly confident about. Dundee, you know, perhaps not having the best season. I think they've only won twice so far this season. They're obviously going to be looking more behind them than ahead of them at the moment. You're right, Neil McCann, there probably will be a little bit of pressure on him. I wonder even if there's maybe a few regrets going through his mind. You know, he'd cushy wee number with Sky Sports and now he's under pressure as Dundee gaffer. But it's certainly a game that we can be confident about, even more so after yesterday. It'll be interesting to see what kind of team we put out on Wednesday, whether it will be the kind of the settled team that we've got at the moment or whether Robinson might try and freshen up a wee bit just because of the amount of effort that went in to the semi-final yesterday. But it's certainly a game that we can be confident. You know, we've obviously won two league games in the trot, won the semi-final yesterday as well, so we've already, you know, bettered Rangers this season by winning three games in the trot. And so, you know, we can go to Dens Park on Wednesday, be full of confidence. Obviously, it'll be, you know, everybody who goes will be no doubt still in a bit of a party mood anyway after yesterday's game. So it's just a game we can look forward to, and it's a game that, you know, again, you don't want to start getting too ahead of ourselves or starting to put expectations on the team based on the start. But at the end of the day, if we're talking about, you know, being top six and we're talking about how it doesn't look as though, you know, we're going to go off the rails at all, then it's a game that we should be looking to win. We should be going to Dens Park and we should be looking to win the game. And, you know, I don't see any reason why we won't.
Craig, I suppose it's understandable given the last couple of seasons where we've flirted with relegation and in the previous season before that. Even I suppose even the top six season we were still kind of in amongst it around about the end of February and pulled our way out of it. The season before we were in the playoffs. My mentality just now is let's get as many points on the board as we possibly can and steer ourselves clear of any dramas come the back end of the season. Is that something you would kind of agree with?
I think I think probably something my dad drilled into me was make sure you always first protocol is stay up. But I think looking at the game itself, I think Dundee are a bit of a up and down team this season. They've had the greatest of starts and like JSA, I think McKenzie got under pressure. I think as well it'll be interesting to see how he does line up Robinson in this one, because we saw obviously after the League Cup game against Aberdeen, granted we played against the same team who maybe knew a bit better than how we were going to play. But I think obviously he looked a bit tired and leggy on that Sunday. And if you look at the bench on Sunday, look at the six outfield players who were on the bench. It was Hamill, Grimshaw, Bijanamana, Freer, Fisher and Tanner. If they brought them all in, for me that doesn't really weaken the team in any way. We've got a really strong squad this season. So if you bring in those six guys, I don't think you're losing any quality. Overall, you know, if you keep a spine of, you know, Carson, Hartley, McHugh, Moult, bring in, you know, six or seven guys running about them, I don't think it's weakening it anyway. I think that'll maybe just freshen it up. It'll give these guys, you know, being set enough to do well. A cup final coming as well, so I think these guys will certainly know that the lineup we started against Rangers will probably be the lineup we start in the final if everyone's fit. But these guys will need to show that they can be called up if needed as well. So for me, made quite a few changes in this one. We've got a big game on Saturday as well against Hibs, so I think we could make a few changes, but I think we're still some good players in there. We could still pick up a 3 points. I don't think even a point would be the worst result in the world considering our poor record against Dundee recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think whatever Stevie Robinson decides to do will be the right decision, but you know, in my view, I think he might have potentially learned that we only made a couple of changes, I think, after the Aberdeen Cup game to the league game, and we did look a bit leggy. I mean, the effort and determination was still there, but you can see there was maybe a slight edge missing, and perhaps there might be the temptation now to make a few changes. One I would absolutely make, to hark back to earlier comments in the podcast, I would put Ryan Bowman on the bench. Nothing against Bowie, I think he's playing really well, but the media outcry against him will no doubt lead to two things happening. Referees keep an eye out any time he jumps. You know, if there's an arm out, it'll be a card shown at him, because some referees might see that he's a yellow card or a red card shy at the moment. Plus certain managers, and I would include Neil McCann in this, who would perhaps say to their centre-halves, if you're jumping with Bowman, if he's got a flailing arm, go down holding your face, and the referee no doubt will be right over there showing him a red card. So it might, even for Wednesday night, do him no harm to be out of the limelight, because obviously, as you said, somebody mentioned earlier on, Brendan Rodgers playing a wee bit of mind games, trying to you know, put it in the referee's minds that, well, these guys are dirtying up Bowman, if he uses his elbows and all the rest of it, you know. So I think it wouldn't be, you know, unwise to maybe take that out and stop it happening. And if it, I suppose, harking back to another point that was made earlier about the incident with Bowman, if there is any retrospective action for the second one, then I hope they give it a straight red, because that means he misses the next game rather than it being a yellow card and then he misses the final. I'm sure it is, maybe you could correct me, but I'm sure if it's a straight red for violent conduct, it would be the next game rather than the next game in that competition. So if it was a yellow, you know. So I would certainly, once you, I'd put a big boy out of the way on Wednesday night just to let that simmer down. Maybe like a biggie, Elliot Freer, get a wee Grimmy, give these guys a run as well, freshen it up. Maybe Alan Campbell could do with a wee rest, and just give guys, as you say, a chance to play a bit more, so that if we need them at any time, because we will have injuries, these guys are fresh, they've had some game time, they're ready to go. But as Craig absolutely rightly said, we're not lacking in any quality on the bench. Guys like Ellis Plummer, who we brought in from Man City, isn't even on the bench, and Chucky, who's shown flashes this season, scored up at Ross County, isn't even in the bench. I think that, more than even the bench, shows the quality we've got in the squad this season.
That's actually something I hadn't even considered, I must admit. And it was a conversation at Easter Road. Elliot Freer's missus was sitting beside us at the game, and Elliot was injured at the time, and he said as soon as someone drops out, they're absolutely terrified that they'll not get back into the team. Holmesy, that kind of dilemma is such a nice headache to have, isn't it? That you've got a squad of maybe 18 to 20 players, all of which are there when required. You've mentioned already guys like Big Romana, Fisher, Freer, Tanner. They're all guys that are very, very capable footballers, that when you're going into a game against Dundee and you've got guys that are perhaps a bit fatigued after what was an intense battle on a very, very big pitch, that's a great headache for Stephen Robinson to have.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like what's been said before, I think it's good to have a big squad with players that are, you know, as good as the ones on the pitch. We've had it so often over the last sort of 5 or so years that we've had, sometimes we've had a half decent, you know, start 11, but just young boys on the bench, and there was nothing to change it if things weren't going well. And we've seen that Robinson's not shy to change things, that, you know, and with changing formations and changing personnel, he's not shown it. He's willing to make changes. It'll be interesting to see if he has learned in any way from that Aberdeen game in the league. It was obviously, like I said, we played the same team and they completely changed their tactics to nullify it. But I think there was a bit of tiredness and there was a bit of fatigue in there. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, we've got a game on Wednesday, game on a Saturday, whether the squad will be utilised. And I think there'll be players in there that points to prove. Even Big Fisher, who's not featured much over the last couple of months, but I thought he started the season all right. Ended up at Ross County and he missed an absolute sitter for about 6 yards. I think he's maybe one of those players who just needs his first goal. Well, like Bowman as well. You know, once Bowman started scoring a few, you've seen the changes in him. So Fisher could be that as well. Guys like Tanner and Freer have got quality. Bridger and Manners have got quality. And Grimshaw's not a start yet, so I think he'll be looking to play himself in the contention as well. So absolutely, it'll be good to see a few of these new guys. Even that, you know, we talked about Ross McLean there. The Lithuanian boys at Petr Vicius, if my pronunciation's right. I think he's come back as well. Thankful. He's come back as well. So, you know, we've certainly options. It's great to have options. And I'm sure, like you say, it's a very pleasant headache for Robinson to have.
Jay, Robinson doesn't seem the type of manager that is going to bask in the glory of a success like yesterday was. It was as I say, it was a high intensity battle. He was quite heavily involved, obviously sent to the stand after a bit of a domestic with Pedro Partridge. But it seems like he'll have the players. Yes, you've got to revel and enjoy your successes like yesterday was, but I would imagine that while it might have been a bit of a light day today, tomorrow will be high octane, back to it, and you've got to focus on the league. There is a month between, in which I think we've got five or six Premiership fixtures before we play in this final. We've got to be focused. We can't let our standards slip, because we are only in the early stages of the season. We could be dragged into a relegation battle in the same way that we could kind of impose ourselves on the battle for Europe or so on and so forth. It's every game's significant at this time of the season.
Oh yeah, I think you're spot on. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that, yeah, obviously it was a great day yesterday, and I'm sure today has been enjoyable if you're a Motherwell player or if you're Stephen Robinson. But I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that it'll be entirely about Wednesday now, entirely focused. The League Cup will be put in the back burner until the 26th of next month. It's Dundee will now be the priority, and I've got no doubt whatsoever that we'll be, you know, just as organised and just as focused on that as we have been for most of the games so far this season. At the end of the day, if you're Stephen Robinson, if you have mentioned earlier this idea of a particular character or personality that you're looking for, the reason you want that kind of player in your team is because you're that kind of individual yourself. So Stephen Robinson will, you know, as well as having a squad of very focused, very strong-minded footballers, that is him as well. So I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever that that basically the League Cup will have been put to one side as soon as the gaffer woke up this morning. So I think we'll be well drilled, we'll be organised, and we'll be, you know, all eyes will be set on Dens Park on Wednesday.
Peter, how much a kind of significant factor was the kind of touchline spat yesterday and being sent to the stand? It doesn't. He is a manager that paces the touchline. He's very vocal. He's always there, kind of G'ing up the players. But at the same time, it didn't really kind of seem. It seemed quite uncharacteristic, I suppose, that he would be sent to the stand and the kind of afters that went on. It didn't really seem like Stephen Robinson. I don't know him as a person whatsoever. I suppose you've had more dealings with him. Is that something that kind of creeps into his personality now and again?
Well, I mean, we all know he's a passionate guy, and I think all that happened there was, we've started to show that Motherwell are no longer going to be a pushover on the pitch, and clearly we're not going to be a pushover off the pitch either. We're going to stand up for ourselves against all comers. We're not going to sort of like bow down to Rangers and Celtic on the touchline just because their manager's saying things and all the rest of it. We're going to go toe-to-toe with them as well as we're going to go toe-to-toe on the pitch. But too many times in recent years, perhaps, you know, we've had good technical players, but we've not had enough heart, enough battle, enough fight, and we cannot be accused of that now. You have to win the battle. You have to win the right to play football. We're doing that, and Robbo he leads from the front. He is the leader in every sense. You know, it's for his example. He's passionate. He cares. He stands up for himself, stands up for his players, stands up for the club. The players look at that and think, I'm going to play for that guy. Look at the passion he's got. The spat, well, it seemed like Pedro Caixinha was wanting Ryan Bowman sent off. I understand why he was angry. He's seen his player, you know, with a worse bus cooper than any Rangers fan that put on a Celtic Rangers double at the weekend. But, I can understand why he's angry, but I can understand why Robbo's like, well, hold on, you're not getting my player sent off. I'm not having this, you know, and try to influence the referee. And it's very, very rare I'll praise referees, but, you know, and Stephen McLean has in the past not done us any favours, but...
hold on.
Think about it.
Ask Jamie Langfield if that's the case.
I'm, I'm just coming to that. Two of our most memorable games in recent years, he has been the official, and he has let one or two things go which have been handy for us. But you know, which is good to see it happen. One of the things I think we didn't expect going there yesterday, that we would perhaps get you know, the rub of the green from the match officials. So, but no, listen, Rob was absolutely right to stand up for his players, and I think the players see him doing that, see how much he cares, and you know, look at him and think, as Jay says, I'd run through a brick wall for that guy. And you know, he's a passionate guy. He cares, and he's so positive. That sweeps throughout the club, and I think that's why we're having such a good season. That's, you know, the man, as I said earlier, the team is a reflection of the manager. Look at how we are this season, and look how we were in the first part of last season when we had our previous manager. That tells you all you need to know.
Jay, we move on to the weekend, and we've got the Hibs, so it's quite a intense 6 days, I suppose, with three games. It doesn't feel very long ago since we played Hibs at Easter Road, which was a very difficult encounter, going 2-0 down and battling back through another Louis Moult double, something that's been quite a theme in this podcast tonight. Again, Hibs have, I think they've been talked up quite a lot, the results. I think they've won now 2-9 after their weekend defeat to Celtic. They're not as good as they're made out to be. There's absolutely no doubt about that. As soon as we scored the first goal against them at Easter Road, I had absolutely no doubt they would get back into the game. In fact, I think we were possibly quite unfortunate not to go on and win the game. At home, we've turned Fir Park into a very difficult place to come. Yes, we have lost the Rangers and we've lost to Aberdeen, but that aside, we swept away Partick Thistle. We were very convincing against Kilmarnock. We beat Ross County. We're a strong side at home, and I don't think Hibs will fancy this one very much.
No, you're right. I mean, I think Hibs have they haven't lived up to the expectations. I think, you know, in terms of personnel, I think they've still got a good squad, but it might even just go back. You know, Peter said earlier about yesterday Rangers being a team of individuals, whereas we were an actual team. And I think, I don't know if it's maybe the same at Hibs, because I think in terms of, you know, the squad, they've got a lot of good players, a lot of players in that squad that would, you know, improve most squads in the league, and yet they are, you know, not living up to quite where they possibly expected to be. I think they're seventh at the moment. They've struggled at times, and you're right, at Fir Park, having already got a point at Easter Road, welcome them to Fir Park. It is a game that they won't fancy. Robinson's and some of the players as well have said so far this season about how it's a big part of what they're trying to do is to turn Fir Park into a bit of a fortress, and that means, you know, winning your home games. So Hibs won't fancy that at all. Obviously, it's one of those ones, whenever we do a podcast on the Monday with two games coming up, it's a wee bit harder, obviously, to preview the game on Saturday without knowing fully what's going to happen on Wednesday. But they're both two games that are very much winnable based on how we've been doing as a season as a whole. It's not, you know, being overexcited over what happened yesterday. I think they're both games based on how well we've done this season, particularly against Hibs at Easter Road. There's no reason, if we can go to Easter Road and get a point, there's absolutely no reason why we can't get 3 points at Fir Park against them.
Craig, I think that there's no doubt that we expected Hibs to come back up last season. Possibly their re-emergence was slightly delayed, to be fair. The fact that they were down for a few seasons, they had the playoff disappointment, but then went on to win the Scottish Cup. They're definitely no, they're no mugs. They're a strong side, and they'll be a very good game for us. But I think it's quite a nice situation to have a couple of games that you would think are going to be difficult games, challenging games coming up, because we can put the semi-final to bed. Yes, it was a fantastic day. Yes, we all had an amazing, whether amazing day, we're still having amazing days on the back of it, but we've got to move on, and we've got to kind of focus on league duty for the next month and continue to be the side we've been for the majority of the season so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm pretty sure, I'm pretty confident that Stephen Robinson will be drilling in at the players that you know, like you say, it's 5 weeks away, so, you know, let's put it to bed, and we've got a lot of important games coming up. I think we'll remember after the 2011 Scottish Cup semi-final, I think we won a game, and we got a few battles between the semi-final and the final, and obviously, you know, that kind of be good for a squad, so I'm pretty sure that we have the players up for it the next few games. I think Hibs will be a tough game on Saturday. They've obviously got the derby against Hearts on Tuesday night. So they will obviously come off the back of a semi-final against Celtic and a game against Hearts. So, you know, they'll be feeling the effects of those two games, I'm sure. But like I said, you know, I think there was expectations that Hibs would come back up and be a top three, top four team. You know, it took them 3 years to get the championship. Even there was lots of times in the championship they were struggling as well. So, like Jay said, they've got good players, but I'm still waiting to see if they're a good team. They seem to do okay in sort of one-off cup ties, and they've got a couple of good cup runs. Obviously, they won the cup last year. But I think will Hibs finish the top four? Probably no for me. So certainly there's nothing to fear from them on Saturday. Like Jay said, we got a point there. Could easily won it. So I think I'm pretty confident at beating Hibs on Saturday. I think if we can come out this week with 4 points out of six, then that'll be a very much job well done.
Yeah, Peter, it's a challenge to kind of keep up that momentum, isn't it? But I think the home forum is so significant. I've really battered us over the couple of years in the podcast about how poor we've been at home. We've got the best pitch in Scotland, and at times we've been fertilising that pitch. But it's an absolute change era just now, isn't it? We're playing with a lot of confidence, particularly at home. I think that while we've maybe had to grind out a few results away from home, we've been quite imposing and quite dominant in some of these fixtures that I mentioned earlier on.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like you mentioned, like the one you missed out actually was the when we beat Hearts, and we got off to maybe a not a different start, but we fell behind. But again, you know, we ended up being in front at half time with another Louis Moult special just before the interval, and then the second half we battered them, and it should have been 3 or 4 Thistle game. It was an absolute stroll in the park. You know, other games like Kilmarnock, Ross County, second half, again, as we have done all season, got better in the second half and ended up winning at an absolute canter. Craig should have stolen my thunder, because I was going to say 4 points out of six as well. And I completely agree. In what order the points will be picked up in terms of where we'll win, where we'll draw, I don't know. But I think I'd be absolutely delighted with 4 out of 6. After a very, sapping semi-final yesterday. Obviously, the players were born a high, but I think we might see, I would be happy to see a Wednesday night 4 or 5 changes. Although I suppose the other part of it is, don't change a winning team, you know. But you put yourself in a bit of danger of maybe picking up knocks if players are playing with a knock and maybe playing after playing too many games, and then there's tiredness creeps in, so you don't want to go down that line. But a few changes. Dundee are one of these strange sides. They lost at the weekend, but then the week before they were getting praised for only losing 1-0 against Celtic and being unlucky not to at least take a point, because Craig Gordon made 2 or 3 great saves. And then they go and I think lose at Thistle at the weekend. So you have no idea what we're going to see tomorrow. Hibs, I think there's 3 words I'll sum up Hibs: Emperor's New Clothes. They seem to be like, they beat Rangers at Ibrox and everyone was saying, oh, this team are fantastic, they're marvellous, but they are just back up from the Championship, even though they are Hibs, even though they have Anthony Stokes, who's always a threat, John McGinn, who's a terrific midfielder, Simon Murray, who I think will become a really good Premier League striker. They do have a lot of good players, but they've not perhaps fully gelled, so it should be a decent game if we're parking Saturday. But four points out of six this week, and I think, along with every other Motherwell fan, will be a happy bunny.
So there we go, folks. Emperors in new clothes, and then last week, crowd wanking. That's the new phrases that I've managed to sneak their way onto this podcast. God, it's a ridiculous time that we live in. Fantastic effort, Peter. Your work at Motherwell, and you wear many, many cloaks as well, don't you? With your
yes.
Sometimes
none
around
the
time, we kind of hear you, but I'm sure you're very good at it.
Thank you.
And I suppose yesterday, the hospitality day, where the club sell out their hospitality, there was various packages, and Suzanne Reid and her team seemed to be doing a fantastic job there.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly want to praise that side of it. Obviously, I wasn't working yesterday. That's maybe why it went so well. I was there as an ordinary punter, and I didn't notice they'd Tam Cowan after the game, so I hope he was getting the same money I was getting. But listen, I enjoy what I do, and I don't consider it work in any way, shape or form. Same as obviously our mutual friend Mr. Speedy is doing the PA. It's a labour of love, but certainly the Suzanne and Bernadette and Andy that brought in as bar manager as well. They've all, now people might say, "Oh, I worked with them at Celtic, blah blah blah," but they've brought in people that know can do a good job, that are going to work hard, and they'll bring depth. I mean, Suzanne, I'm sure you all know, she's a red hot Motherwell fan and has been, you know, for many years. So where people have been before doesn't matter. That's the great thing about Motherwell. We don't need to think that every player, management, backroom staff, guy that makes the tea need to support the club like certain other clubs do. People who are doing a great job and bringing success, bringing in money. A few weeks ago when I played Thistle, they had in hospitality the Ladies' Day. Now, admittedly, it was a strange sight to see all the fancy hats like it was Ladies' Day at Ascot, and all the clicking of all the heels coming down the wooden stairs in the main stand, you know, at half time and all the rest of it. But it was new people in the club, new money, a different approach, something innovative. And it's good to try, and rather than doing the same thing all the time, look for new avenues of bringing in revenue. And it's a great thing, and it seems to be going well. That's part of the overall positivity, and I'm happy to play a very, very small, insignificant part of that. But you know, long may the positivity in general around the club continue, because it's been a wee while since we've had it, almost week in, week out.
My message still hasn't sobered up for Ladies' Day, but they despoil your. You're not playing an official role. You've had a very popular tweet over the last couple of days, so you're pretty big time as well.
Yeah, so apparently it is. Is this what you call being viral? Is that how that works, eh?
Yeah, you're your hashtag desp. Guys, I really appreciate your time. I know that it's been a heavy couple of days, and particularly Jay's got no voice, so he's done very well to hang in there for the hour, but... it's been a pleasure looking back, and I think what we can easily say is one of the best days in our mother's supporting lives, and let's hope that in the month's time we have a day even more special for the final.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.
A bit deeper this time, and let's take the